This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa. JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief at FanDuel and at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 193 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. Last week's picks were pretty boom or bust, and to be honest, they were more bust than boom. Dak Prescott didn't really hit, Marcus Mariota got hurt and he busted, Alex Collins wasn't good even with a touchdown, and Amari Cooper, Sterling Shepard, and Ricky Seals-Jones didn't really pan out. I did talk up DJ Moore, I liked Eli Manning, the Saints defense was a good streaming option, and Larry Fitzgerald had a pair of scores. But even with two touchdowns, I didn't really like the low volume that Fitz saw. So overall, it was probably one of the worst weeks of the season for me. I'm glad DJ Moore came through, I'm glad that the Saints defense looked good, but it doesn't really make up for the other misses. So hopefully this week is better. Before we dig into the matchups, I wanted to remind you guys about the weekly NumberFire Podcast Network free roll over on FanDuel. In last week's contest, we saw NYCute take it down with a score of 173. The lineup included Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, Odell Beckham, Traquan Smith, and DJ Moore. So nice job, NYCute. If you want to play in this week's NumberFire free roll and get a chance at NumberFire premium memberships and free FanDuel points, go to FanDuel.com/league/Brandon. That's FanDuel.com/league/Brandon. There are a lot of good quarterback plays this week, and to be honest, it was hard to just choose a few to talk about on today's podcast, and it was really hard to find a couple of guys that I was down on versus the consensus. But let's kick things off with Lamar Jackson. As long as he gets the start, he's a pretty strong play against Oakland. We know he can do a lot with his legs, as we saw last week with his 27 carries for 117 yards on the ground. That should provide a nice floor week in and week out from a fantasy perspective. But going up against Oakland, he's facing a defense that's allowed multiple touchdown passes in all but one game this year. That one game came all the way back in week two when Case Keenum failed to throw any touchdowns at all. And listen to some of the quarterbacks that this Oakland defense has faced over this time. Ryan Tannehill, he had 3 touchdowns. Baker Mayfield, 2 touchdowns. Nick Mullins, 3 touchdowns. Josh Rosen, 3 touchdowns. It's a beatable defense, and the Ravens actually have a pretty decent implied team total this week. Since Lamar Jackson is touching the ball so much offensively, when Baltimore scores, there's a good chance that he's going to be a part of it. So if Lamar Jackson is starting, he's a good streamer. Now, instead of giving you guys plays like Jameis Winston or Baker Mayfield, I decided to dig deeper for these next two options. Do know that I'd play Winston and Mayfield over these guys, but those plays are far more obvious. The first deeper play is Nick Mullins. Tampa Bay's secondary is NumberFire's worst when adjusted for strength of opponent. And the only two quarterbacks to not finish as top 12 options against them in weekly scoring have been Alex Smith and Nick Foles. Smith was a disaster, but he was also behind a makeshift offensive line. And Nick Foles still threw for over 330 yards. Now, the biggest issue that I have with Mullins, aside from the obvious he's a third string quarterback, is that San Francisco has played it really conservatively with him. He's thrown it 15 or more air yards on just 8.2% of his attempts. That's by far the lowest in the league. It's almost 4 percentage points lower than Derek Carr's rate, who ranks second to last. So that's a slight concern because you want those deep ball opportunities to score fantasy points in chunks. But because Tampa Bay's defense is so bad, I don't think that Nick Mullins is an awful streamer. Another deep play is Eli Manning. You know, in most cases, I wouldn't be playing Manning against a division rival, let alone the second time he's faced this division rival. The last time he went up against Philly, he failed to throw a touchdown and he tossed an interception. He didn't hit 10 fantasy points. But this Philly secondary is banged up, and they've been really mediocre over their last 4 games. Drew Brees was the QB3 against them last week, and Cam Newton was the QB3 back in Week 7. But in between those games, you had Blake Bortles as the QB12 while throwing for 286 yards, and Dak Prescott had 270 yards in a score against them in Week 10, finishing as the QB7 thanks to a rushing touchdown. Now, Eli Manning's not a slam dunk play. Neither is Nick Mullins. Like I said, you should be playing someone like Winston or Mayfield or Jackson over Manning and Mullins. But teams may be desperate, and those are two very clearly desperate options. As I mentioned at the top, it's tough to find quarterbacks to be low on this week, or at least quarterbacks who you can typically trust, but you can't trust in Week 12. So the two quarterbacks I'm going to talk about should still be fine, but I do have at least some concerns. The first one is Deshaun Watson. On paper, this matchup isn't awful. Tennessee's actually been pretty bad against opposing wide receivers specifically, and the Houston offense runs through their wideouts in the passing game. It's not like they're heavily utilizing their tight ends, and no team has fewer receiving yards at running back than the Texans do. So from that perspective, Watson is a totally fine play. But I do worry about what I've sort of talked about on this podcast a lot over the second half of the season. He's not running as much, and he's not throwing as much either. Deshaun Watson is ranked outside the top 20 in weekly quarterback scoring in three of his last five games. And in the two games where he finished a lot better than that, he threw the ball just 44 times while tossing 7 touchdowns. That's an incredibly unsustainable 16% touchdown rate. Across Watson's first 5 games this year when he was really strong in fantasy, he was averaging 38.4 pass attempts per game and 7 on the ground. Since, his pass attempts per game has dropped by 15 and his rushing attempts per contest has fallen by about 3. And it's hard to imagine that this game against the Titans shoots out. The first time these two teams faced, we saw a 20-17 final. And according to Vegas, we're looking at an over-under of just 41.5 points, with Houston as 6-point favorites. So all in all, I don't think Watson is some horrible play. I see he's ranked in the top 10, though, and that to me is a little high given his recent performance and his lack of use in the offense. He's had crazy touchdown rate games this season, but that's sort of what you seem to be banking on if you think that he has that high of a ceiling. Phillip Rivers is another quarterback play that's fine, but he's not super exciting. Arizona has allowed the 7th lowest adjusted yards per attempt this season, and only the Bills have allowed fewer fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. Rivers also may not be asked to do a whole lot in this game. They're big favorites, and the Cardinals have faced the 3rd fewest pass attempts against this season. It's definitely not likely to shoot out. The Chargers should score, though, and there's variance with how touchdowns are scored. So Rivers should still have some touchdown upside. But he's not a locked-in, obvious QB1 play this week, considering everything else. We don't really know how Baltimore is going to utilize Gus Edwards this week and moving forward, but if you need sort of a flex-type running back this week, I don't think he's a bad option. He looked great on Sunday, and Baltimore's going up against the Raiders, who have allowed the most rushing yards in football this season. So if Edwards gets a big workload again like he saw in Week 11, he should produce. Josh Adams is someone I would consider playing over Edwards this week since we sort of know what his potential workload looks like. In his two games prior to Week 11, Adams was handling about 46% of Philly's running back attempts, and he was playing roughly 30% of the team's snaps. Against the Saints on Sunday, he had a 70% share of Philly's running back attempts, and his snap rate jumped to 55%. That's a good sign. Now, in Week 12, Adams is facing a below-average team against the run. And according to my colleague Jim Sonnis, before Snacks Harrison was traded, the Giants were allowing 3.9 yards per carry and a 36.1% success rate to running backs. Since that time, that yards per carry has jumped to 5.3, and they've allowed about a 47% success rate. So if the game flow is right for Philadelphia, and if Adams continues seeing the market share numbers that he's seeing, then it could be a big day for him. Marlon Mack should be in your lineup this week. He has 12-plus carries in all 5 games since his return from injury, and he's facing a Miami rush defense this week that ranks 6th worst according to NumberFire's expected points model, and it's one that's allowed the 5th most points per game to the position this year. A running back against Miami has finished in the top 15 in weekly scoring in all but one game this year in PPR formats, and that game came against the Jets, who have a completely split backfield. With the Colts being big favorites, Marlon Mack should get plenty of opportunity to score fantasy points this week. I talked earlier about the Chargers likely being in a positive game script, and maybe that does some things for Austin Eckler as a deeper play at running back. If the game does get out of hand, you'd have to think that LA is going to chill out and put Melvin Gordon on the sidelines. So Eckler all of a sudden becomes viable. There's really not that much to this play aside from the fact that you're banking on a blowout. Deion Lewis has really underperformed over the last 2 weeks. He's seen a combined 30 carries across those 2 games, but he's also been targeted just 4 times. His targets per game rate was almost at 5 during his 7 games prior. And now in Week 12, he's facing a Houston defense that's 6th best in success rate allowed to opposing running backs through the air, all while being 6th best on the ground as well. And on a per-rush basis, only Chicago has been more effective at stopping running backs. So Lewis is tough to trust confidently here in Week 12. I talked about Adrian Peterson as a sell candidate on my 15 Transactions episode on Tuesday, and I don't like his outlook here in Week 12. He's facing Dallas, who ranks 4th in per-play efficiency against the run this season, according to NumberFire's schedule-adjusted metrics. And as I mentioned on that 15 Transactions episode, AP has been awful in games where Washington loses. He's averaged just 23.5 rushing yards in losses this year, while seeing just 10 rushing attempts. In wins, he's averaging almost 105 rushing yards per game. Considering the matchup, the fact that Washington is a pretty big underdog against Dallas, and the fact that Washington now has a backup quarterback under center, AP should probably be benched. Alshon Jeffrey has ranked outside the top 40 in PPR formats in each of Philadelphia's last three games, and he hasn't hit 50 yards receiving in any of those contests. But the good news is that he's still seeing a 23.1% target share in the offense during this time, and he's got a decent matchup this week against the Giants, a team that he scored twice on earlier this year. So I think that we're looking at a game where Alshon Jeffrey could truly bounce back. Mohamed Sanu has finished in the weekly top 20 at wide receiver just once this year, and he's posted single-digit PPR totals in more than half of his games. He's not someone that you can typically rely on in fantasy football, but I think he's a good play here in week 12. The Falcons are facing the Saints in a game with a huge over-under, and it's also a game where New Orleans is a massive favorite. That means Atlanta, who's already the most pass-friendly team in neutral game scripts this season, is more than likely going to throw the ball a lot. So that should up Sanu's volume potential, even if he's just seeing 14% of Atlanta's targets. But then there's the matchup. In this game, Sanu's going to be matched up against PJ Williams in the slot. According to Pro Football Focus, Sanu's run 75% of his routes from that area of the field this year. And according to PFF, no relevant slot corner has allowed more yards per snap than PJ Williams this season. That makes Sanu a sneaky start-worthy wideout this week. Adam Humphries is also a deeper play that you could look at as well. In games with Jameis Winston under center this year, Humphries has a near 19% target share in this Buccaneers offense. That's only 10.6% with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He'll also face Kaywan Williams in the slot, who's allowing a top 10 yards per snap rate in the league, according to Pro Football Focus. And not only that, but Chris Godwin is a little bit banged up, which could force Humphries onto the field a little bit more. So if you're in a PPR league and you need some sort of high floor option, I think Humphries is in play. Since a lot of you are focused on watching football on Thanksgiving, and since some of you are playing DFS on Thanksgiving over on FanDuel, one really, really deep sleeper this week is Keith Kirkwood. Again, this is a very, very deep play, but he's got a favorable slot matchup against Brian Poole, who's allowed the fifth most yards to the slot this season. He's also fourth worst in football in yards per snap allowed in the slot. Kirkwood himself isn't playing a ton of snaps, which is why he's such a deep play. He was only on the field for about 36% of them on Sunday. But a large concentration of his snaps are in the slot. Last week alone, Kirkwood ran 7 of his 11 routes from that area of the field, where he saw 4 of his 5 targets. You could easily consider Austin Carr here as well. I'm just mentioning Kirkwood because he's not coming off a game where he scored a touchdown, so even fewer people will be on him. Larry Fitzgerald has been seeing enough volume to warrant fantasy football starts, but I'm not in love with him this week. The Chargers haven't allowed a performance better than wide receiver 17 in PPR formats since week 3, and they rank in the top 8 in yards allowed to the slot this season, which is where Larry Fitzgerald has run 77% of his routes. Arizona's gotten a little bit better offensively since moving to Byron Leftwich as offensive coordinator, but they've still averaged the second lowest yards per drive rate in the league over the last 4 weeks. So Fitz is a lower-end wide receiver 3 for me this week, but it's understandable if you may not have a better option. I'm not really feeling Corey Davis either. As I noted earlier, the Texans-Titans game is projected to be pretty low scoring, and Houston's allowed the fifth fewest fantasy points to wide receivers this season. There are also some question marks around Marcus Mariota's health, which certainly doesn't help things. At tight end, you probably weren't planning on benching Jared Cook, but I do like him a lot this week. There aren't many options at wide receiver for the Raiders, and Baltimore has allowed the highest percentage of receiving yards in the league to tight ends this year. They've been pretty bad against the position from a raw numbers standpoint too, having allowed 626 yards to the position, which is the 10th highest total in the league. So Cook should see volume in what's a sneaky good matchup, so get him in your lineup. Cameron Brate's the deeper play this week, but it's not that deep of a play considering OJ Howard will be sidelined for the season. For any tight end option, you're really looking for a high-scoring team that will throw a lot of passes, and ideally a team that's playing at home. That's exactly what you have this week with the Buccaneers. So with OJ Howard sidelined, Brate becomes the team's top option at tight end, and that should translate to fantasy points. At defense this week, you've got to like the Dallas Cowboys. They're heavy favorites against Washington, they're at home, they're facing a backup quarterback, and the game's got a low over-under. And Dallas's defense has actually been pretty strong in fantasy football this year. They've gotten at least one sack per game, but they've also had 3+ sacks in 60% of their contests. They're a good play on Thanksgiving. The Buffalo Bills are a strong option as well on defense. Since week 2, Jacksonville, their opponent, has allowed an average of 3.4 sacks per contest. All but one defense has finished as a top 12 option against Jacksonville since that time. With Buffalo at home and with this game having a really low over-under, and given we know Blake Bortles can be turnover-friendly, they make for a very good streaming option this week. That's going to do it for today's show, though. Thanks to everyone for listening. If you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Spotify. And if you're on iTunes, please leave me a rating and review. I'm also on Twitter, at LateRoundQB. Thanks, everyone. This is going to be the last podcast of the week due to Thanksgiving, so good luck in week 12, and happy Thanksgiving to all of you.